Programs designed to keep Afghanistan's youth in school and out of the workplace are a top priority of the country's rebuilding efforts. Julia Taft is the Assistant Administrator of the United Nations Development Program, or UNDP. She's also the Director of the Bureau for Crisis Prevention and Recovery. I recently talked with her about the UN's ongoing recovery efforts in Afghanistan.
Within the United Nations Development Program, I lead the task force to organize the way that we can assist in the transition from crisis to recovery. Among the things that we've been involved in, it's quite broad. We're working, for instance, with the Minister of Women's Affairs, Dr. Seema Samar, to try to help her in organizing advocacy throughout the government and the country to deal with women's issues. We are providing internet connectivity to all the ministers of the interim authority. We are assisting them in paying the civil service salaries. We have also been working on developing reintegration initiatives for refugees and internally displaced persons who are now starting to go back home.
Now, you just recently came back from Afghanistan, is that correct?
Right.
How much time did you spend there, and what was your job while you were on the ground?
Well, I was there for about a week. My principal reason for going was to attend a major international conference of all the donors to Afghanistan, as well as the cabinet of Afghanistan, to discuss the development program for the year and the national budget. I also had an opportunity while I was there, of course, to meet with a number of the ministers that are responsible for programs of education and women's affairs and development, and went out beyond Kabul to some of the locations where refugees have started to return, and we are engaged in helping to build schools and help in the reintegration of the people.
Can you remind our listeners how much money was pledged in the original donors conference?
In January, there was an international conference in Tokyo, and the donors pledged over the course of 3 to 4 years $4.3 billion. The first year amount of that was $1.8 billion to cover all of the humanitarian and transitional assistance activities. To date, about $800 million has already been dispersed, which is good.
I have heard several stories about complaints that the money isn't coming fast enough and that this is a problem in terms of stability.
There are several reasons that some of the funds have not been distributed. One, of course, is security. The assistance that's going into Kabul is quite fulsome. In the outlying provinces, however, it's much more problematic. As we have to understand, there is a war going on, and accessibility is a constraint. So that's one of the reasons. A second reason is that there has been some criticism on the part of the Afghan authorities that they have not received the $1.8 billion, but that was never really the intent. The donors, particularly for the first year, expected most of the funds to be channeled through the United Nations organizations or through non-governmental organizations, not to be given directly to the government.
What are conditions really like on the ground? I think it's hard sometimes for us to get a sense of that just from, you know, short video clips that we might see on the evening news.
One sees on the highways a number of Pakistani buses stock full with beds and furniture and suitcases and hundreds of people virtually trying to come back to Afghanistan. These are mostly refugees who've lived in Pakistan during the past 20 years. So there's that movement on the road. In Kabul itself, it's madhouse. There are more taxis, I think, in Kabul than there are in New York City. And you see lots of activity on the street. The stores are starting to open up. The markets are busy. And I think all of this can be attributed to the fact that there is a great international and growing presence there from international relief agencies and the UN. A lot of people are going to work. 85,000 people have salaries now from the civil service. And a lot of economic revitalization is taking place. So there's a lot of energy and a lot of activity. Now, it's not quite so active and vibrant in other parts of the country, I'm told. I have not gone to Herat and Kandahar. But my sense is that as security improves, one will see the replication of this vibrancy throughout the country.
Do you get a sense from talking with the local people that there's finally that will, that things are going to get better, and enthusiasm for life that certainly hasn't been there for 20 years?
I certainly did. I often get asked the question whether women are still wearing the burqa on the street, and they are. Many of them are. One of the reasons they are still wearing the burqa is their concern about whether or not there's going to be a solid, peaceful future. But my sense is that we have to be patient. It has only been 5 months since the new authorities took over, and one can't expect a huge change overnight. But the signs are all quite good.
You know, Afghanistan is actually starting to fade from our memory here stateside in terms of it's not necessarily mentioned on the nightly news every night. We don't see pictures from Kabul anymore. Are you concerned that things will fade too quickly?
One of the most encouraging signs is that the donors consistently meet to discuss their continuing commitment. The United States, Japan, the EU, Saudi Arabia, other countries have made a long-term, visible, public commitment that this is not going to be a short-term investment. And that is that's never happened before. So while it's not on the nightly news, the donors do have it very much in their mind.
What do you see are the biggest obstacles to long-term recovery in that region?
Whether or not the Afghan people want peace.
And do you think that they really want peace? We do hear about warring factions that are still happening even outside of Kabul. Is that hard to gauge at this point?
The whole United Nations approach for Afghanistan has been quite refreshing and quite different. What we have basically said is that the United Nations is not running Afghanistan. We do not have our own peacekeepers there. We do not run the country as we have done in East Timor or Kosovo. In fact, everything that we have been trying to do has been to enable the Afghans themselves to make decisions about their own priorities and how they want to manage things. So the future of Afghanistan is very squarely on their shoulders. This is also true in one of the other critical issues, and that is in poppies. Poppies have fueled the warlords. That's how they get their money. Poppies have also been a huge problem for addiction in all the surrounding countries. Most of the poppies end up there or in Europe. And the attention and the dedication of the Afghan authorities to ensure eradication of poppies will be one of the key determiners as to whether or not the country is able to really assume the stature of a country in control of its own destiny. We'll have to wait and see.
Julia Taft is the Assistant Administrator of the United Nations Development Program and the Director of the Bureau of Crisis Prevention and Recovery. I spoke with her in New York.